of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Now, here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today. A little bit under the weather. I have quarantined myself. Woke up coughing my head off this morning, which reminded me of the first week that I had COVID last September. And I don't really think that I have it again, but I know that the antibodies that my body built, I know those antibodies are gone now. There were signs that I had that told me the antibodies were still there. There was certain foods and drinks that I wanted nothing to do with ever again. And but now those foods and drinks I like again. There, from the moment I knew I had COVID, and for like months after that, I had zero leg cramps. There was something in the T-cell antibodies that had also cured my leg cramps. Now, that's weird. But, I mean, I didn't have a one. And I had them prior to having COVID. I had them every night. Or almost every night. Bad. I would be up 5 to 6 times a night walking around the house trying to get my legs to uncramp. Sometimes they wouldn't. They would not unlock. And just various things like that. Well, I noticed that those T-cell antibodies were gone, and I started having, you know, these normal things back that I had before. And so this morning I woke up, and I've got a lot of upper respiratory things going on, and I'm a little ill today. I'm coughing my head off and not feeling all that great today. So when I realized it, I put a mask on, two of them. And my wife said, "What are you still wearing your mask for?" I said, "Because I'm coughing my head off. And if I have this again, I don't want anybody to get it." So we came into the church early this morning, and I immediately came into this room and shut the door and told everybody, "Stay out, stay away from me. Be gone." Because those of us who have had it, you don't want it again. And if I have it again, I don't want to give it to anybody else. I just don't want to do it. I do not want them to go through, either for the second time, what they've already been through, or to go through it for the first time, because it was bad enough the first time. So anyway, I'm not feeling the best today, but I've got some interesting things to go through today. We're in the book of Ezekiel. And, you know, again, I'm just not feeling that great. So if I make this a short Pastor Mike Online, you'll understand why. And it's just because I just don't feel good enough anymore to keep on talking. But let me start out with, let's read through the first chapter of Ezekiel. And I tell you what, I'll put it up on the screen for you so you can kind of see what I'm seeing. Because I'm going to draw your attention to certain things in Ezekiel chapter 1 that we haven't really looked at yet. in Ezekiel 1, starting in verse 4, he said, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. And we've talked about that several times, the issue of the north. In fact, I went through yesterday and I looked for all the videos that I had done on UFOs. And we're going to duplicate those and we're going to take those. Our plan is to go to Lost Wages, Nevada on August. Let me pull up a calendar here so I can get the exact dates right. Our homecoming is August 6th, 7th, and 8th. And then we'll be going to Lost Wages the 27th, 28th, and 29th. I will have a surrogate pastor here during that weekend. And my wife and I, we're going to probably just take some vacation time. We're going to take our time going through the Southwest of the United States, visiting America, seeing the sights. When we get done, we'll probably do the same thing coming back. I'm allowed 2 weeks vacation, and I can tell you that in the 26 years that I've been pastor here, I've never taken 2 weeks vacation. Never. I've never done it. It's always one week, and then I feel like I need to be here. So that's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to do the road trip thing. See the Southwest United States, go to Lost Wages and set up our booth and give away free DVDs. And so Sweetie Pie and the girls are here and they're working on making all of the discs that we're gonna try to give away, probably 5,000 to 10,000 DVDs that weekend. And I appreciate those. Several of you have already contacted us and said, hey, when you get here and you bring your RV, park it at our house. We'd love to have you. I appreciate that. Obviously, I can't park at everybody's house, but I've got your information, and we appreciate that. We really do. So anyway, where was I going with that? But anyway, I was going through the list of the Watchmen and the Pastor Mike Online videos that I've done on UFOs and cryptid creatures and things like that, because it's a MUFON symposium, Mutual UFO Network symposium. And it's to me, it seems to be more of the scientific approach to what UFOs are rather than the esoteric. And I can tell you there are differing groups in the UFO movement. Some of them are looking at, they want to know the scientific part of it, what these things are. And then there's some who already have assumed that all these UFOs are these great, wonderful master gods, that they are coming to help us and benefit us and bring us into a new age of light and glory and no more war, and we're going to raise our consciousness and we're going to evolve to a new species, and this won't life be great when these gods get here. And I'm telling you, they're already ready for it. And I could give you a list of names of people that are looking forward to the day when the UFOs come and make themselves permanent here on this earth, which will not be a good day. It'll be the day of God's wrath. God will allow these things to come down here and take over this whole planet. And these people are saying, please come do this. And they talk weird, but they are so demonically, satanically possessed, oppressed, and inspired in what they believe about UFOs that they honestly think that these are ascended masters coming to bring us into a new age of peace and enlightenment where marijuana is free for everybody. I'm just telling you, that's what they are. And they're wanting this to happen. The MUFON organization does seem to be a little bit more of the nuts and bolts type UFOs. We want to know what these are scientifically. We want to know how the propulsion works. We want to know what planet they come from. That's how they view it. And so we're going to go there and try to give... Basically, if I were to take the DVDs that I had to, let's say, Eureka Springs, Arkansas, where they have a big esoteric, occult, New Age UFO conference down in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, those people would probably throw me out. Because I am a fundamentalist Christian, and some of their speakers, they don't like people like us. They don't like people like us. I watched an interview with Luis Elizondo yesterday. And he's being interviewed about why he quit the Pentagon, why he retired from... I got a fruit fly in here. Why he retired from the Pentagon... As head of ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And he said specifically that one of his superior officers in the Pentagon told him, Lieutenant Elizondo, I don't know if he was Colonel or what. Colonel Elizondo, yes, sir. You need to stop investigating these UFOs. Well, okay, sir, you're the boss, but may I ask why? And Elizondo said that one of his superior officers said, these are demons, and they are coming to attack this earth. Now, Elizondo scoffed at that. Because the guy asked him, have you read your Bible? And he said, well, I sort of know a little bit about what the Bible says, but what are you getting at? And he said, this Pentagon military chief told him, these things are demons, devils, and, we're not in favor of finding out what propels their machines. That's what he was told, and that's one of the reasons why he resigned the Pentagon, because he wanted to get away from that atmosphere. So who does he join up with? Tom DeLonge, a rock star who is devil-possessed and is being led to find out how these ships work and so on and so on. So let's get into that part of Ezekiel chapter 1. He said, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. So picture these four living creatures, and each one of them is like a bundle of fours. Each four of the living creatures has four faces, 16 faces total. Each four of the living creatures has four wings total, 16 wings total. Each four of the living creatures has the appearance of a man, so there's a humanoid body with legs, and their feet are sort of like straight feet, like our feet, but they have the similarity of a calf's foot, I guess, with a cloven hoof. Um, what else can I say about them? The four wings, they have two legs, each one of them. So you have four different cherubims that look identical. And then their wings are joined together. And when they move and turn, they don't really move. They don't really turn positions. They just go. Whatever face is facing west, no matter where they go, that face faces west from that living creature. The Bible is describing that for us. And then it says, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was the like burning coals of fire. And like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Remember I mentioned the other day, these were pure energy. 100% pure fire energy, because they're made of fire. Lightning is energy. Positive and negative. Electrons and protons working together. These are pure energy beings. Then he said, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, and this is where it's going to get interesting today. Behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Now we're going to focus on the wheels and the Hebrew word for what this is. The Hebrew word for these wheels is ophan. And when you have multiple of them, they're called the ophanim. Believe it or not, the Jews who practiced Kabbalah, they worship these ophanim, these wheels, which we know from what we're going to read here, we know that these wheels are living beings. Verse 15 again, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, B-E-R-Y-L. They four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now, I picture Saturn when I think that. I think Saturn and Uranus and Neptune. We know these are planets that have rings around them. And then it actually says, after it tells us that they're like the wheel within a wheel. Behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance was and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they went upon the four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. So whether you have rings or wheels, a wheel is a ring. A ring is a wheel. And so what does Saturn have around it? Rings. And it looks like a wheel in the middle of a wheel is what Saturn looks like to us. And that's the picture that I get when I visualize this. Now, there may be something about this because it is in the fourth dimension. Ezekiel is writing it as he sees it with his three-dimensional eyes, but really we cannot fathom it in its fourth-dimensional reality. So I may be way off. When we get to heaven and we see it, we'll go, well, that looks way different than anything we could have ever imagined. It's because our minds are limited to three dimensions. We don't understand fourth dimensional objects, but it clearly is that. It is in the spiritual realm, and as Ezekiel is describing it in three dimensional terms, this is how he's doing it. The Holy Ghost giving him the words to write down. But bottom line is, we have the wheels themselves, and the Bible says when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went, and thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature, here it is right here, the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now, we know that of all the angels, my chair is running over my headphone cord. There we go. First world problems. We have too many cords. We know that in God's kingdom, God created good angels of all sorts and evil angels of all sorts. He created them all. Some would disagree with me on that. Some would say, no, God created them all good, and they decided to turn bad. And one lady told me in an email, she chewed me out big time. And she said it in all capital letters, God does not create evil. And then I sent her the verse where it says, word for word, I am the Lord, I create evil. Word for word, God said, I create evil. And she still blasted me. She would not believe what the Bible said. And I can't help people. If I give you scripture and you still don't believe the scripture where it says it plainly, your problem's not with me, so I don't argue with you. Your problem is with God. You don't believe God's word. But anyway, as God created good angels of all different kinds and shapes and whatever, he created evil ones as well. So there are good chariots that God made. Remember, the Bible says the chariots of the Lord are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The chariots themselves are living entities. They are alive. They are self-aware. They are conscious, living entities that God uses. Now, does he have to? No. But for some reason, God chooses to use these angels as a mode of transportation. I don't understand why he does, but he does. So just as you have in this chapter, the description of these good angels who are chariots, and this is just one of them. God has 19,999 other ones parked in a garage somewhere. And this is the one that he's describing. So just as you have this one, and it's a good one, and he's got 19,999 other ones that are good chariots, good vehicles for him, and they are all alive. The angels themselves are alive. The wheels that move them about from place to place are living entities, because the spirit of the living creature is in those wheels, which means they are alive. So now this brings up some interesting concepts. You know, the Jews, if anybody tells you, boy, you really need to get into the Jewish way of looking at Christianity and the Messiah, because really we're wrong about a lot of things. The Jews had different perspectives on who the Messiah was and how he was going to be and so on. And let me warn you against that. God rejected the Jews for a reason. They were so far out of line in their belief system. They were not even close to understanding who the Messiah is. And you hear this from lots of Christian, what they call Christian leaders. And people, there are no such things. There are no such thing as Christian leaders. They do not exist anywhere. The hierarchy that God gives us in the Word is God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They rule through the pages of the Word of God. And when you belong to a local Bible-believing church, and that pastor in that congregation, you can clearly tell they are under the authority of scriptures, then that's all you need. You don't need the Trinity Broadcasting Network, Bot Christian Radio Network, Crawford Broadcasting. You don't need all of the Christian radio stations and all of the Christian TV stations. You don't need them, because they have taken these men and women and called them Christian leaders, and whatever they said, that's what goes. And Christian leaders say that, boy, you know, we need to look at the Jewish way of how they saw the Messiah, because they really understood it differently than we do. Yeah, you're right. They understood it so differently that they got it wrong on every point. And they ended up killing him. So don't believe anybody who tells you, well, we need to understand this from the Jewish perspective, because they had it, but they fouled it up so bad, God rejected them now for 2,000 years. That's how bad they got it wrong. So no, I don't believe in looking at it from the Jewish perspective. Because let me tell you something. What I'm going to show you today is Jewish theology. And it is fouled up big time. Big time messed up. I'm going to read to you some articles, and I've got a little video to play while I'm doing it. Just different pictures. First of all, I'm going to give you a word called ophanim. I mentioned that word earlier. The ophanim is the Hebrew word for wheels. And it is called ophanim or Galgalim, which is where the word Gilgal comes from. Gilgal and ophanim and kaikal means circle. Anything like a circle or round, or hang on to this one, Remember the word we were looking at the other day? Whirlwind. And it goes in a Keikel. It goes in a Gilgal. It goes in an Ophanim. It goes in a circle. Hang on to that. It means spheres, wheels, whirlwinds, so on. It refers to the wheel seen in Ezekiel's vision of the chariot, which is the Hebrew Merkaba. Hang on to that one. In Ezekiel 1:15, one of the Dead Sea Scrolls construes them as angels. This is one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, not necessarily the scriptures. But I do believe that because the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels, that they themselves were living entities, because they had a spirit in them, a living spirit in them. It construes them as angels. Late sections of the book of Enoch, which is not in the Bible, should never be in the Bible, and don't listen to anybody, including Tom Horn. Tom Horn. I've not spoken out against him. But they are big time Book of Enoch and extra biblical sources. Him and his whole, he's got a big TV ministry now with Derek Gilbert and others. And I've met these guys and I like these guys. But what they have got off into is wrong. They study the Book of Enoch. They study extra biblical books and use them as authorities because they have supposedly messianic prophecies in them. And I cannot go along with that. Let me just give you a rule. If it's a messianic prophecy and it's not in the Bible, then guess what Messiah it's prophesying of? The other Jesus. Not the same one as the Bible is. It's not. Can't be. Anyway, these wheels were seen as Ezekiel's vision of the chariot, which is the Hebrew word Merkaba. They're construed as angels. Late sections of the Book of Enoch portray them as a class of celestial beings who, along with cherubim and seraphim, never sleep but guard the throne of God. These wheels have been associated with Daniel 7 through 9, mentioned as Galgal. Traditionally, the wheels of Galgalin in fiery flame and in burning fire. Daniel 7, 9, what does that say? Ezekiel, Daniel, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Daniel 7, 9. I beheld till the... Okay, let me do this. I beheld, this is Daniel 7, 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure of wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So apparently they have associated the Galgalim or the Ophanim as the wheels of burning fire that accompany the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is Jesus Christ, people. All right, back to that. Now, the first, these wheels have been associated with Daniel 7, 9, mentioned as Galgal. Traditionally, the wheels of Galgalin in fiery flame and burning fire, and the four eye-covered wheels, each composed of two nested wheels that move next to the winged cherubim beneath the throne of God. The four wheels move with the cherubim because the spirit of the cherubim is in them. The late second book of Enoch also referred to them as the many-eyed ones. They have many eyes in them. The first book of Enoch simply seems to imply that the Ophanim are equated to the thrones in Christianity when it lists them all together in order. Quote, roundabout were seraphim, cherubim, and Ophanim. Their function. Good grief. Let's see if that must be on the back side. Yeah, okay. Their function. It is said that they were actual wheels of the Lord's heavenly chariot, Merkaba, which I believe. The four wheels had rims and they had spokes, and their rims were full of eyes round about. They also frequently referred to as the many-eyed ones. The Ophanim in Judaism, Maimonides was a Jewish rabbi. Not Moses, not Ezekiel, not Isaiah. He was a later Jewish rabbi. Lists the Ophanim as the closest angels to God in his exposition of the Jewish angelic hierarchy. In other words, according to a Jewish rabbi who's making this up because it's not in the Bible anywhere, he is saying that these Ophanim are the highest and the closest angels to God, which don't believe that. In Jewish prayer, in the Kedusha section in the morning prayer, which is the blessings preceding the recitation of the Shema, includes the phrase, "The Ophanim and the holy living creatures with great uproar rise themselves up facing the seraphim. They offer praise, saying, blessed be God's glory from his place." The inspiration behind this particular passage in Ezekiel is Ezekiel's vision. The theme of angels praising God was inserting into the passage of the Paetanim, Jewish liturgical poets. The Ophanim are mentioned in the El Adon prayer, often sung by the congregation as part of the traditional Shabbat morning service. In the Jewish angelic hierarchy, thrones and wheels are different. This is also true of the Kabbalistic angels hierarchy. Thrones in the Orthodox Church. They're trying to say that these Ophanim, these wheels, are the thrones mentioned by Paul. Principalities, powers, thrones. And that's not Ezekiel chapter 6. Where is that? Some like Philippians or something like that, or Colossians, whether it be principalities or powers or thrones or dominions. Dr. Colesti Hierarchia refers to the thrones from the Old Testament description as the third order of the first sphere, the two other superior orders being the cherubim and seraphim. It is mentioned that, quote, the name of the most glorious and exalted thrones denotes that which is exempt from and untainted by any base and earthly thing and supermundane ascent up the steep. For these have no part in that which is lowest, but dwell in fullest power, immovably and imperfectly established in the Most High, and receive the divine eminence above all passion and matter, manifest God, being attentively open to divine participations. All of that, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. This view was also accepted by the Catholic Church and by St. Thomas Aquinas. Lords of the Flame in Western Wisdom Teaching. The Rosicrucian, here we go. The Rosicrucian cosmoconception refers that the Lords of the Flame. Now understand, these wheels and these chariots are related to the unknown aerial phenomenon that are approaching and encroaching in Earth's airspace. Understand that that's what they are. And you have certain branches of Judaism and Christianity that are already worshiping them. You keep seeing up on the screen, see these prayer wheels? Like there, they believe that these prayer wheels, they write certain mantras on them, and people go by and roll the prayer wheels so that the prayers can be repeatedly said to the gods so the gods can hear them. What did Jesus say about don't do what the heathen do with their vain superstition, their vain repetitions? For they think that they can be heard by their much speaking. And that's what prayer wheels are. You keep spinning the prayer wheels so that the gods can hear over and over and over and over and over and over and over the same prayer. What is a rosary? A rosary, whether it's a Muslim rosary or a Catholic rosary or a Buddhist rosary, is a circle of beads that you touch, you say a prayer, you touch the next one, say a prayer, touch the next one, say a prayer, touch the next one, say a prayer. And you go through the whole cycle of beads so that the gods will have heard all 33 of your prayers or whatever they are. That's not God that you're praying to. You're not praying to God, the one true God. You're praying to devils. You're praying to Ophanim, Gilgalim, Kaikals, circles, whirlwinds. Anyway, back to the Orthodox Church. The third order of the first sphere, the two superior orders being the cherubim and seraphim, it is mentioned that, quote, the name of the most glorious and exalted thrones denotes that which is exempt from and untainted by any base and earthly thing, and the supermundane ascent up the steep, for these have no part in that which is lowest, but dwell in the fullest power, immovably and perfectly established in the Most High, and receive the divine immanence above all passion and matter, and manifest God, being attentively open to a divine participation. See, it still doesn't make sense now. This view was also accepted by the Catholic Church by St. Thomas Aquinas. The Rosicrucian idea says that the Lords of the Flame, the hierarchy of the Elohim, astrologically assigned to Leo, the lion, are the thrones from the Old Testament description because of the brilliant luminosity of the bodies and their great spiritual powers. The other two superior hierarchies being also the cherubim and the seraphim. According to this conception, the heavenly seraphim and cherubim, as well as the ophanim, continue to aid humans in spiritual evolution. Did you hear that? The purpose of these Gilgalim, or these ophanim, these wheels, is to aid humans in their spiritual evolution, as do the archangels and the angels. In other words, to aid us in our transformation, our change. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. I believe that mankind literally, on a certain day, every man, woman, and child is going to fall literally to the ground. And if you remember how worms turn into butterflies with four wings, which is the four living creatures here, if you remember how that happens, the worms spin a cocoon, which is a chrysalis or a pupa. And they crawl in it and die in it. When they come back to life, their body has been transformed. Now they have four wings like moths or butterflies. And now they come out changed. And I think it's absolutely in the realm of possibility, based upon 1 Peter 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The tares turning black at harvest time. I do believe that there is going to be a transformation of people all over the world. And that in itself shows who has the mark and who doesn't. Now I'm going to say this, and I hadn't planned on it. I've been planning on waiting for a year. But some of you were scared out of your skin because of all of the stuff on the internet that was telling you that the COVID vaccine was the mark of the beast. Is it? Is there anybody that you know of that has received the COVID vaccine that now has a mark in their right hand or in their forehead? You got lied to. You got fed. You got distracted from the Bible. Now, I'm not speaking against those who are anti-vaccine. If you want to be anti-vaccine, be anti-vaccine. I don't care. Don't try to push me into your pet cause, because I'm called by God, not by man, but by God, to tell you what this book says. But a lot of you got fooled into believing that the COVID vaccine was the mark of the beast. And it's been rolled out now for what, several months? So far, nobody has the mark of the beast. And so far, let me read you a story. The state of Missouri, God bless them. Let me put this up over here. The state of Missouri is going to refuse on any new pandemic stuff. There was let's see if I can find it. I sent it to myself yesterday. I probably won't be able to find it now. I get so many emails. Yeah, here it is. Let me read this story. The state of Missouri. No, that's not it. That's Illinois. Should have come from me. Anyway, the state of Missouri, I can't find it. The state of Missouri, we have a supermajority in both houses and a Republican governor. And the state of Missouri is voting a bill through Congress right now that apparently I sent myself the wrong one, the wrong story. But anyway, it basically says that just because there's a pandemic, that doesn't mean in the state of Missouri that we're going to force vaccine everybody, that we're going to force masks on everybody, that in the future we're going to force shutting businesses down. In other words, Missouri is going to protect Missouri as a state from federal overreach in this stuff. You thought it was the end of the world, and it's not. People are standing up and fighting back, and if you want to live in a free state, come to Missouri after they pass this law. Because I'm not kidding you. They have a supermajority Senate that is conservative Republican. We have a conservative Republican governor, and they're passing the bill through now that's saying that just because there's a pandemic doesn't mean that we're automatically going to make everybody wear masks, that we're automatically going to make everybody get a vaccine, that we're automatically going to make everybody do this and everybody do this and shut all their businesses down. Missouri says, we're not doing this again. And I don't know where my sound effects are. I'd be having a woo-ha, yay, the sound effect. Let's see here. See if I can find it. There it is. Not now. There it is. Here we go. Woo! For the state of Missouri! Anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch. So the old phantom in Ezekiel are worshipped by the Jews, by the Buddhists, by the Catholics, by the Orthodox, by the UFO people, as gods. They're worshipped as gods. And understand what I'm saying. The wheels are worshipped as gods. The wheels are. Okay? Now, let's see here. Let's get to the other part of what I wanted to talk about today, the chariots themselves. It is obvious that in it's obvious that in Ezekiel 1 he is describing the chariot that the Lord rides in. Okay? Let me see if I can get to this other paper here. Yeah, here we go. All right. Let's shut this video off for a minute. Let's go to Scripture. Ezekiel, back to Ezekiel chapter 1. The Bible says that the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of flash of lightning, so they have the ability to zoom, zoom. And as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And again, this ability for the living creatures in the chariot to run and return as the appearance of flash of lightning describes what Lou Elizondo called as one of the five observables. In other words, Commander David Fravor and others who were actually sent out to chase and engage these UFOs during naval training exercises. So David Fravor goes down. There's one down there that looks like a giant tic-tac. That's why they call it the tic-tac. It just looks like a great big giant white cylinder with rounded ends. No wings, no jet, no rocket, no air intake, no air output. They don't know how it's propelling itself. They don't know how it uses what's called instantaneous acceleration, which sort of is a, it's sort of a, that's an oxymoron. Instantaneous to accelerate means to gradually build up to a certain speed. But these objects don't just gradually build up to travel at 4,000 miles. They immediately start traveling at, even in some cases, 12,000 miles an hour. And they have it on film. They have it on radar tape, radar recordings. They have other data where they have measured the flight of these craft, and they have the ability to be from a sitting position to instantaneously begin traveling at 12 plus thousand miles an hour. And and if you were to put a human pilot in that ship under normal pilot circumstances, it would kill him. The gravitational forces alone would crush his body. He would die in severe pain after about 2 seconds. So that's what Lou Elizondo, that's what To the Stars Academy of Science and Arts is looking at, is how they're able to instantly be in a sitting position and then instantly traveling at 8 to 10,000 miles an hour, 12,000 miles an hour, 4,000 miles an hour, because it would kill a normal pilot. If our craft, if they took a chain and hooked it to one of our jets, and then took off at 12,000 miles an hour, it would kill the pilot in the jet and probably destroy the jet, because it's not able to handle that kind of force. But that's what these things can do, and they did it. This thing that Ezekiel saw is in our atmosphere. And it's doing it in our atmosphere. It ran and returned as the appearance of flash of lightning. And air did not stop it. It did not make a sonic boom. Nothing stopped it from doing what it was doing. And Cindy, then as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with its four faces. The appearance of the wheel was as the work, like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they went, by the way, the reason why I had, let me put this back up on the screen again. The reason why I had all these different pictures of the different wheels and the prayer wheels, because they're all linked together. I'm waiting for it to get around to these roulette wheels. Because roulette wheels, they're called wheels of fortune. And it's the idea that the gods will direct where the ball sits. And where the ball sits, you will end up with fortune. You'll end up with money. Did you know that on a standard, and there are standards for roulette wheels, the standard roulette wheel If you add all the numbers up on a roulette wheel, they will add up to 666. It's a truth. Truth. Now, verse 19 of Ezekiel 1, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And whithersoever the wheels was to go, they went, thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. That makes them alive. Then that makes them connected and respond to the will of the angels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads. A firmament is an expanse, like the firmament of the heaven. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one and had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of hosts. Where they stood, they let down their wings. I got something neat to show you, but not today on this. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was like the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. That man was God, Christ. And as I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins upward, even the appearance of his loins downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, let me show you, let's see here if I can find it. Let's see here. I had an article pulled up, and I was going to show you the Wikipedia article. Here it is, about Merkaba. There it is. Merkaba mysticism. Because Stephen Greer, who is the head of Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, comes out with a couple of documentary films. They make big noise all over the world. He's leading CE5 things all over the world. He has videos that will actually show you how to chant. Now, here's what's weird to me. If UFOs were this advanced race of beings that were monitoring our planet and they wanted to know how to get in touch with us, it seems like they would be able to build a machine that would analyze any language on the planet, break it down and learn it, and then be able to read our radio signals and respond with their radio signals back to us saying, yes, we're here. We want to make contact with you, but we have to make sure that you're good people, not bad people. That would be the normal way it would be done. If we were space travelers and had warp speed and we found a planet, we would have to figure out their technology, how to get in contact with them through whatever form of communication they were using, and say to them, yes, we are here from another star system. We want to make contact with you, but we have to determine whether or not you're good or evil. That's how it would be done. But apparently, these extraterrestrial entities can be contacted the exact same way that Buddhist monks have been talking to their 330 million gods for the last 5,000 years. Now imagine that. How likely is that? That the Indians got it right and had it right this whole time. And I'm telling you, I am not a big fan of Indian religion. Unless it's Bible Christianity. The Hindu religion, and there are probably worse religions in India, are some of the most grotesque, disgusting, humanity-hating, arrogant, prideful, idol-worshipping religions, perverted religions that mankind has ever developed. The Indian religions are. When Brother Sam Kodavatikani came and presented it, I said, yes, talk about the untouchables. And he told me things that I did not know. And I was fuming up there. I was so mad. Not at him. But I was so mad at what he said. How they go to the markets and they buy the untouchable children only to have them slain alive while they're screaming on these altars. Those people who did that, they are going to rot in hell fire for eternity. And that's not enough time to pay for the sorry sins that they committed by throwing innocent children on a fire. But anyway, Merkaba is the word. Let me see if I can find the blue letter Bible. I had a blue letter Bible page up. Yeah, is that it? Maybe that's it. Hold one with this four. No, that's the Ophan. Let me look up the word chariot on Blue Letter Bible, and I'll show you the Hebrew word is Merkaba. What did I do? Type it in wrong? Yeah. Chariot. There we go. Tools. The second. There it is. Merkaba. Merkaba, and there's a reason why I'm taking some time here. Stephen Greer practices a form of chanting called Merkaba mysticism. Can you believe that? And the word Merkaba means chariot. Stephen Greer goes into a Merkaba, and he gets this from Jewish Kabbalah. And he goes into a branch of Jewish mysticism called Merkabah mysticism, and he learns how to chant these Merkabah chants so that he can get the chariots, the UFOs, to show up while he's calling them down. And he's teaching others on how to do it. Now, where did he learn this? He learned it from the Jews. He learned it from the people who were already calling chariots down from heaven. The Merkabah mystics. Merkabah or chariot mysticism is the school of early Jewish mysticism, centered on visions and as such as those found in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 or in the Hachalot palaces literature, which is extra biblical writings concerning stories of ascents to the heavenly places and the throne of God. The main corpus of the Merkabah literature was composed in the period between 200 and 700 CE, which is AD, after, you know, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. They've changed it to CE now, Common Era. Although later references to the chariot tradition can also be found in the literature of the Chasside Ashkenaz in the middle of the ages. A major text in this tradition is the Me'asa Merkava, the works of the chariot. The etymology, the word Merkaba or whatever, having the thing to ride in, the cart. It's where we get the word car from. A chariot, a Merkava, or a cart. With the general meaning to ride. The word chariot is found 44 times in the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Bible, most of them referring to normal chariots on earth. And although the concept of the Merkabah is associated with Ezekiel's vision, the word is not explicitly written in Ezekiel 1. However, then when left untranslated, the English word term Merkabah and something else relates to the throne chariot of God in prophetic visions. It is mostly associated with a vision in Ezekiel chapter 1 of the four-wheeled driven vehicle of the four living creatures, each of which has four wings and the four faces of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. And when you get to Revelation 4, you have the man, the lion, the calf, and an eagle. Ezekiel's wheel, St. John's wheel, so on and so on. According to the verses in Ezekiel and its attendant commentaries, his vision consists of a chariot made of many heavenly beings driven by the likeness of a man. The base structure of the chariot is composed of four beings, these beings called the living creatures. The bodies of the creatures are like that of a human being, but each of them has four faces, corresponding to the four directions the chariot can go, north, south, east, and west. The faces are that of a man, a lion, an ox, later changed to a cherub in Ezekiel 10:14, and an eagle. Since there are four angels and each has four faces, there are a total of 16 faces. Which is what I said earlier. Each of the angels also has four wings, which makes 16 wings total. Two of these wings spread across the length of the chariot and connect with the wings of the angel on the other side. This creates a sort of box of wings that forms the perimeter of the chariot. With the remaining two wings, each angel covers its own body. Below, but not attached to the feet of the Hayat angels, are angels that are shaped like wheels, which is what we just found out. Angels that are shaped like wheels. These wheel angels, which are described as a wheel inside of a wheel, are called the Ophanim. These wheels are not directly under the chariot, but are nearby and along its perimeter. The angel with the angel with the face of the man is always on the east side and looks up at the likeness of a man that drives a chariot. The likeness of a man sits on a throne and is made of sapphire. The Bible later makes mention of a third type of angel found in Merkabah called the seraphim, which literally means a burning. That's what Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. Let me put that up on the screen, because I think the Bible does literally call them the seraphim. In Isaiah, let's see, Isaiah chapter 6. There we go. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and it stood above the seraphims. That's what they're called. Each one had six wings. With twain he did cover his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And let me say this to all the people out there listening, and all of us preachers. When God called me, he didn't really use me until I confessed before him that I was a very unclean person. Now, I had pastored a little church down in southern Missouri, Richwoods, Missouri, little country church, and I loved the people. We had a great ministry there. They loved us. We were a young couple back then and had a good time trying to learn, you know, to take care of people, be responsible, to listen to people and their problems and try to help them with their problems, even though I'm a young man and I don't know as much about life as some of the others do. But it wasn't until I became pastor here that God poured coals all, he didn't just put them on my lips, he poured them all over me. And I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't think I was going to live through it. God encouraged me. My wife encouraged me. But God had to purify me to a certain extent before he could really start using me in the ministry. Now, you know, I can't say to those of you who are pastors or you do some sort of church work somewhere, I can't say why it doesn't seem like, you know, much is going on in your church. There could be multiple reasons. But one of the reasons is that it may be that God has got to purify you first. And he hasn't. And until he does, I mean, let's say that he lets you get 150, 200 people in your church. And boy, things look like they're really going well. And then because you're not a clean man yet, your uncleanness starts spilling out to where everybody can see it. And you've made yourself the laughingstock of the entire community, and you have to leave in shame. And whatever gains you made in that church are gone in 1 week. So to all my pastor friends out there, I love you very much. I am one of you. I've been through it. We'll go through it again. Let God purge you of some things. Let him take the wheel. Let him have it. Okay? Let God send an angel with the fire from the coal of the altar of heaven and put it on you and purify you so that now you can say, Lord, here am I, send me. Now, just very quickly, let's see, where is that blue letter Bible thing? I want to show you something on this on the Ophanim. Let's see here. Ezekiel 1. I want to show you something that to me looks... I think there's a neat prophecy coming. I think something's going to happen here. Where is it where it talks about the wheels? Here we go. I want to find that word by the four faces. No. Behold the wheel. Here we go. The old fan. It uses this word in other places in the Bible. And here's one of them. Exodus 14, verse 25. And took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily. Now, this is pertaining, hang on a second. It's getting freezing in here now. This is pertaining to the chariots, the 600. There's a reason why there's 600. Six is a number for like the mark of the beast. Okay, so Pharaoh represents the Antichrist and his armies. Israel is God's people, and God is using the same event that to save Israel that he's using to destroy Pharaoh. Okay? And he's done this before with the flood, the same event that he used to save Noah by having him in the ark, so the ark is raised up when the water goes up. Every time the water goes up, the ark is saved higher and higher, and more people die. That's just, I love God. He's so smart. But there's something here, because Pharaoh commands that his chariots drive down into that sort of roadway that he's made in the Red Sea to chase after the Israelites, try to catch up to him. So they did. So they all start getting down into the water, and all of a sudden their wheels break off their chariots so that the horses are pulling them, but there's no wheels, and now they're pulling dead weight on these chariots of iron that, you know, weigh, I don't know how many pounds, but these horses are trying to pull these guys on these chariots. Now, remember Psalm 82 that said that, let me look it up here for memory's sake. Psalm 82 is where he said, I have said ye are gods, and all of you children are the Most High. Yet ye shall die like men. And fall like one of the princes. You know what I think that story in Ezekiel means, where these chariots represent superior technology. None of the Israelites have chariots, do they? Just as we no nation in this world that we know of has the technology that these chariots have. We just don't have it. We're trying it. But if they were to invade us tomorrow, we'd lose. So the Israelites don't have chariots. The chariots can run faster. They're drawn by horses. They're going to be able to catch up to the Israelites shortly and start killing all of them, running them down, literally. Now, this is a prophecy. And the chariots are coming down. And everybody's going to go, ooh, ah, look at the chariot people. They're here to help us. Stephen Greer said so. And so did Tom DeLonge. And the governments, they want us to, you know, they're going to give us healing for all our diseases. We just have to mingle their DNA with our DNA, not through a vaccine. And I think once God gets them down here, he takes all their chariot wheels off. And when a chariot has its wheels taken off, is it a chariot anymore? Nah. I think once God gets them all down here, he immortalizes them. They become mortals like us, so that when we die, they die also. So study like this Ophan word. And you find it here in Solomon's temple. When Solomon built the temple and he built the place, the pedestal that the Ark of the Covenant was going to sit on, he built a chariot. Now Moses was never instructed to do that, but apparently Solomon was. He was given the wisdom to build this humongous chariot with wheels and a firmament, the sea of crystal, for the Ark of the Covenant to sit on, because it looked like what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. And his Bible's right. It's deep too. It's got answers. And I want the people who are in Lost Wages, Nevada, and all the people who come to the Mutual UFO Network Symposium, I want them to know that while they're in there attending these lectures where these guys are saying, we don't know what they are, I'd like for them to come out to our table and us have videos and say, we know what they are. We know what they are. That's what I would like to be able to do. And then who knows, maybe there's going to be people there that will, once they see the videos, they'll believe it. And they'll be saved. They'll go out, buy King James Bibles, and we'll see these people in heaven. It's what we're looking for. A couple of prayer requests I'm going to give to you, because they called in yesterday. We have a dear sister, Catherine White. She wants us to pray for her family. And we have a dear brother, Brother John, who's been following us for years now. I love him to death. He's got some liver problems and some other problems too, and he wants us to pray for him. And I told him I'd mention them on Wednesday night, but I'm going to do it a day early. And so would you pray for them? And appreciate it, all those who have invited us to park our camper at your house in Las Vegas. And so we just might do that. I don't know. I'm going to keep your number. We've got several invitations from people to do that, and we'll just see how it goes, okay? But anyway, you're the reason why I do what I do. I love you, and I'm going to go lay down a little bit. I'm wore out today. I think the weather, it's May, and it's still cold here, and it's not supposed to be in May. So maybe that's why I'm not feeling so good, and sinuses, and, you know, I was coughing, so I kept myself away from everybody in case I have COVID. I don't think I have COVID. So, but anyway, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you and pray for all of our ministries. The Lord will continue to bless us. We do have a shipping container now. We're going to make sure that it's shipped to the right place and set on site, and the Lord is blessing that. And it didn't cost us like almost $7,000. I think it cost about $3,800, somewhere around in there. So we praise the Lord for that. And we're going to try to find another one now to sit next to it, so we have office space and space to give out food. God bless you. I love you. Appreciate you. And glad that you listen. Come by and see us here at Bethel. We'd love to have you. Remember, we have homecoming coming up. I gave the dates of it earlier, but homecoming is coming up in August 6th, 7th, and 8th. Hope you can enjoy us. Hope you can come and visit us then. And if not, maybe you can come another time. All right? God bless you. I love you.